In Crisis, from The Desert Storm, by Blue Sunshine, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of George Lucas. Chapter 1. Ben steps into his quarters and startles at the sight of a Togruta sitting on the sofa, sipping tea. For a moment he reels, trying to place them, and then recognizes Shakti. Sort of. Ben has never before seen Shakti out of traditional Jedi robes, and he's almost as embarrassed as he would be if he walked in to find her naked. In place of her robes, she is garbed in traditional Shili style, which means a lot of tight-laced leather and beadwork. Her headdress had been replaced with red-plated leather, gilded with gold, and around her neck she wore a torque of Akul teeth, polished and painted blue at the bases. Red braces on her arms matched the wraps around her mantles, and she wore a belt of shining white-woven fibers, mimicking the pattern of the Tudorgrass of her home planet. It is a shocking display from a typically reserved Jedi. Master T, Ben almost stammers, catching her watching his play of expression with amused silver eyes. I have been removed from the Council of Reconciliation and am currently on probation as a Jedi Master. She answers some and only some of his multitude of unarticulated questions with a cool, almost playful tone. Ben startles again, appalled, wondering what could possibly warrant such severe punishment for a woman who was the embodiment of a Jedi. Why? He inquires, if I may ask. She lifts her chin, defiance glittering in her eyes, the hunt sharp on her teeth, just as much a warning display as her clothing is. Because I stood before the council and declared Shmi Skywalker to be my Padawan learner. Ben sucks in a breath, forcing himself not to give in to that first surge of rage. And for that, they removed you from a position you well earned and called into question your capabilities as a Jedi Master. I hardly expected them to be pleased, Shak muses. Pleased, Ben repeats flatly. Shak, half your Padawans were full-fledged knights before they came to you. How dare they?
Dare?
Shak laughs. They are the High Council of the Jedi Order. And how do you know about my learners? Ben rolls his eyes. You're a Shadow Master, Shakti. Like learns to recognize like. By the Clone Wars, Shakti had been even more than that. She had been the Master of Shadows, the head of the Council of Reconciliation, and held one of the permanent seats on the Jedi High Council. She had been one of the greatest training masters the Order had ever seen, and she survived Order 66, though Ben never knew how. He'd only known she'd survived when he heard how she'd died. Perhaps, she accedes, though her silver gaze tells him she doesn't quite believe him. Thank you, Ben, for your defense. She tips her head. For what it's worth, Ben murmurs. And her lips twitch again, well aware of his unpopularity, infamy even. For what he's worth, she agrees humorously, and then it fades from her face. I believe it is only a show. They're testing my resolve. It hurts, I suppose. But I can't survive this pain, I just... She frowns, anger shining through. What if it is not a test? What if they refuse my reinstatement until I agree to let her go? Would you let her go? Ben inquires. I don't know that I could leave the Order for her, Ben, Shakti says quietly, shaken. The Jedi are my life. Those are not your only options, Ben offers, and earns her piqued interest. It is always slightly unsettling to have the full attention of a Togruta. It reminds you that they are hunters, and they hunt worse beasts than you could ever be. Shak's torque of Akul fangs are proof enough of that. You're a Jedi worthy of everything it means to be a Jedi, Shakti. If they shun you in this temple, find another. Start a new one. Revive an old one. She leans back, surprised. and then her eyes narrow, contemplative, troubled. "You are a revolutionary, aren't you?" she murmurs without bite. "If it helps, I don't think it will come to that," Ben adds with a sly, supportive smile. "Oh?" Her eyes gleam. "I suppose there are other machinations of yours in the works?" "You could suppose," Ben replies wittily. But he reaches out to clasp her hand. As ever, she hesitates at first, as most Jedi do, and then clasps his hand in return. "Any hints?" she inquires. "Or am I and my Padawan to wait in suspense?" "Suspend away, I'm afraid," Ben replies airily. "It's rather dependent on the efforts of others." "I take that to mean he's dependent on Obi-Wan." "As no one else in the temple is inclined to give you the time of day," Shakti says. "What's dependent on me?" Obi-Wan asks nervously, stepping through the door and startling at Shakti's appearance. "Don't pressure him," Ben mutters quietly. "You do that enough for all of us," Shakti whispers back before turning a slightly sharp smile on the red-haired boy. "Your master's ability to escort me to lunch, if you're agreeable to changing up your schedule," she inquires. Obi-Wan hesitates, glancing between the two of them sitting on the couch, and reddens. Ben tips his gaze up and sighs, knowing exactly what thought just crossed his Padawan's mind. Yes, lunch," Obi-Wan stutters out. I should go." "With us," Ben says. Obi-Wan narrows one eye at him and slowly nods at his direction. "With you, yes." Shakti laughs quietly to herself, one hand lifted to gracefully hide her grin. They catch Smee in the dining hall, and she agrees to linger in order to spend time with them, fetching herself another glass of juice. Neon yellow juice with bubbles. "What is that?" Obi-Wan asks. "You're asking as if I would know," Shmi replies lightly, taking a sip. She is not wearing a braid, but her dark hair is pulled up in a bun, save the lock behind her ear, which should be a braid, and instead falls in a loose curl. She has also exchanged her simple gray dresses and mechanics aprons for yellow and white tunics, with red-brown leggings. Like Shakti, her defiance is quiet, but obvious for all to see. Anakin runs around the table to Obi-Wan and lifts his hands, and the Padawan obliges him without thinking, pulling the 3, probably 4-year-old into his lap. Shmi wasn't certain of the day Anakin was born, and slaves deliberately did not track a young child's age. Tatooine law said a child followed the mother until it was 5 years old, unless the mother died. Slave children, therefore, took a very long time to reach 5 standard. "But you're drinking it," Obi-Wan points out, stealing a berry off his master's tray and giving it to Anakin, who grins in delight and blinks innocently back at Ben's suspicious glance. "It was recommended to me," Shmi replies, smile playing on her lips in spite of the less-than-friendly looks they are receiving. If Jedi thought a lifelong slave would be cowed by a cold shoulder, they had much to learn of perseverance. The looks Shakti receives are of a very different sort. Surprise at first, as always, and then confusion, followed by anger or uncertainty. It is one thing to disdain and be resentful of a stranger taking a place they feel she does not deserve, and another to acknowledge a renowned and well-respected Jedi Master to be breaking from the mold. Ben himself is receiving a renewal of dirty looks, as if this were his fault simply by association. As ever, he smiles pleasantly back at the worst offenders until they look away. Mace Windu is grinding his teeth so hard he won't even look at Ben, or Shakti. But perhaps that is not all to do with Shak. The Jedi had woken this morning to the pervasive sense that something was not right, and that was not the result of 1 or 2 out-of-the-norm Jedi Masters. There was a soft tug in the Force, and everyone in the dining hall looks up as a knight wearing the tabard of a council attendant runs into the room. They pause just inside the doorway and catch their breath. "Attention, your attention, please," they call out, voice smooth and clear and carrying well. Even the initiates at the tables are silent. "3 hours ago, Rylor 4 experienced a cataclysmic seismic event," the knight announces into the hush. We have 90 hours to evacuate 80,000 refugees, and it's a 6-hour journey there. All Knights and Senior Padawans report to the flight base for immediate assignment to assist in the evacuation. All Junior Padawans report to the Quartermaster's Division to assist in logistic supply. All Masters, please check your comms. You will be receiving individual assignments shortly. The Knight scans the room as they finish speaking. Crash Master is already preparing to rein in their initiates in order to keep the clans out of the way. 80,000? A Corellian Master inquires, tacitly aware of the younger beings in attendance. He doesn't say that 80,000 people is still less than a third of the population of Rylor IV. The Knight swallows tightly. A conservative estimate, they reply. But yes, just 80,000. They leave, and the Jedi start moving with economical reserve and tight focus, leaving their trays on the table and streaming from the room with quick efficiency. I would be of more use as a mechanic, Shmi says, and Shakti is already nodding. Go, the Togruta tells her. They could use your skills right now. Her eyes meet Ben's and they lock, staring at each other until their comm links finally chime and the anticipation, the burning what do I do for I need to do something, finally breaking as answers were forthcoming. Shakti reads quicker. I'm to take charge of a group of senior Padawans assisting in the evacuation, she says aloud, already rising. I'm to report to the Senate and represent the petitions for assistance, Ben frowns, wondering how he received such an assignment when Adi Gallia wanted to disembowel him. If their last challenge match was any indication. I pity the senators, Shakti offers, and then slips into the throng, making her way out. Ben snorts and turns to his Padawan, who's rising from his seat, Anakin in his arms. Follow Shakti. There's an initiate clan just by the entrance. They look after Anakin. On it, Master, Obi-Wan replies, ducking between two knights and weaving through the throng, still small enough to slip through the press of people with ease. Ben himself must wait for the opportunity to stand and slip in where space is made for him.